Let's change the way we do the world. Let's nurture habits that lead to better habitats and a more sustainable future for all. Get started at OttomanNatureInstitute.org/action.
Bring your family to meet ours at Audubon Zoo and Audubon Aquarium, where you can rule the day with Arnold, flip out with Midas, get chummy with Ace, and of course, hang out with Rue. Get your tickets today at OttomanNatureInstitute.org.
At Ochsner Hospital for Children, we understand that accidents and illnesses happen. Our 24/7 pediatric ER has you covered no matter what unexpected moments life throws your way. Visit Ochsner.org/4children to learn more.
Oh, hey, didn't see you there. Do you know what ultra-premium ice cream is? Well, in order to qualify for an ultra-premium ice cream, you have to have more than 16% milk fat. This is commonly described as a dense, rich, creamy, heavenly, sumptuous, decadent, indulgent ice cream. And our pals, friends, and partners over at New Orleans Ice Cream Company has the most delicious ice cream you could ever imagine. I mean, let's say Bananas Foster, go for it. Chocolate City, go for it. Mardi Gras, King Cake, go for it. They have the Po' Boys, which is like their own rendition of an ice cream sandwich. Okay, it's two different ways. You can get it with the vanilla bean or the Creole cream cheese. And it's this kind of like very soft cookie situation that sandwiches. It's called the Po' Boy, and you gotta try it out. Y'all, you can find New Orleans Ice Cream Company around the country, but also at our Rouse's, our dear friends, and other grocery stores all around. You try it out. And guess what? When you're not in New Orleans and you're trying some of that Bananas Foster or that King Cake, it'll transport you in some sort of way vicariously. NewOrleansIceCreamCompany.com. Nola Papa is proudly sponsored by Rouse's Markets. You'll love us for more than just the low prices. Make shopping easy with pickup and delivery. Everyday low prices, unbeatable quality, family-owned delivery and pickup options. We buy local services, catering, and bakery. And that Gentilly Berry cake in that case is so fine. Oh, y'all, you know the Gentilly Berry cake. Oh, find it at Rouse's Markets. We interrupt this regular programming to say that over on our website at nolapapa.com, we have the biggest deal we've ever done, and it's half off both our books, The Secret Mermaid Review and The Adventures of Addie Underwater. You can find them all across New Orleans, Target.com, Amazon, but only at nolapapa.com can you get it signed and half off. I don't know how long it's going to be there as to I see fit. Right now, it's good as gold. So at checkout for Addie, put in Addie 50. And for The Secret Mermaid Review, put in Secret 50 at checkout. And let me know when you did, okay? Just tell Nola Papa. Tag it.
Hey there, Nola Papa fans. This is Nick from Sandpiper Vacations. At Sandpiper Vacations, we specialize in making dreams come true. Who doesn't love a fabulous vacation? Picture yourself in Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Disney Cruise Line. We are your ticket to the Disney dream. But hold on, it's not just about Mickey and Minnie. We're talking about Universal Studios, Sandals, all-inclusive resorts, and cruise lines like Royal Caribbean and Virgin Voyages. And that's just the beginning. Guess what? Booking your dream vacation doesn't cost you anything extra to use our services. We are here to give you that added value to booking your vacation. Sometimes we can save you some money. We'll save you time. We'll save you the stress and take out that hassle of booking your dream vacation. So head on over to sandpipervacations.com, click on Get a Quote, and let your adventure begin. Make sure you mention that Nola Papa sent you.
This is Adrian Sosby, your freelance content creator and editor of the Nola Papa podcast. From corporate videos to compelling documentaries, podcast production to engaging reels, I bring creative energy to your business. Plus, I specialize in YouTube management, helping you grow your channel and reach new heights. Let's collaborate. Contact me at 404-247-1083 or visit solidicemedia.com to see examples of my work.
Life is so much more than a blog. It's also unafraid, unique, and unscripted. A Nola Papa podcast.
Did you know the ED visit rate for girls decreased from 46 to 31 visits per 100 children from 2019 to 2020. The ED visit rate for boys decreased from 50 to 32. And in 2019 and 2020, ED rates were similar for boys and girls. These are statistics that aren't quite hitting the mark that what I wanted to read, but it's about the emergency room and what we can do as parents to really equip our own selves to react in an educated way. And maybe not so dramatic way, because I know that myself, it took time for the drama to fade, you know, and it's important for us to learn, right? So 2024, we have created a new segment at Unscripted, and your papa is real excited about it because it involves the emergency room. For our kids and what we need to do as parents to learn to help them. So I asked our people, our audience, to submit questions because after years of working with Ochsner Children's, you know, after you work with people for a while, you feel the vibes. And Dr. Lauren Mutter is the emergency room doctor over at Ochsner Children's, okay? And she has probably seen it all. And maybe she probably sees more than when she sees it all. She sees something to add to the all. But I thought, because she's been on multiple times, I thought that it would be perfect to ask her if she would want to head this segment, called Emergency with Dr. Lauren Mutter. And she, you know, I asked our people about all the questions, please submit the questions. And the winner of that is submitted, and then Dr. Mutter chooses it. They win a $25 gift card to Rouse's Markets to make you groceries. And Dr. Lauren Mutter, I'm so excited to see you again.
I know. I'm happy to see you too, Eric. This is going to be fun.
It really is. And I know that as we welcome you back throughout the year, because she's going to be coming back seasonally. And if you know the emergency room, usually different things happen seasonally. So you are the best candidate for doing this because you are the sweetest. I've had people, multiples, reach out and say, oh, I love her. So I'm just tickled that we're able to do this and also help. Because I think this will really help.
I agree. And I love what I do. So I appreciate the feedback. So thank you for that.
I'm here for it always. So we have both of us in front of us. Y'all came out for this. Okay. We have 16 submissions of questions. And Dr. Mutter is going to be choosing the first one, and she'll answer that. And then I'm going to say who won it. Okay. So here we go. Dr. Mutter, what was your very first question?
So the question that I really liked, and I think that would really help a lot of people, is question number 9, Eric. When should a fever become a trip to the emergency room?
Actually, it says, when should is a fever become a trip up the ER? I love y'all. Oh, my God. I mean, I'm a writer. I have to repeat that. I mean, really, come on. So that was gold.
There.
And so you translated it perfectly. And what is that answer?
So this is a detailed answer. You got your seatbelts on, you buckled up, you got your beverage, you ready?
Let's okay. do it.
Okay. Click. All right. So the question that I get frequently from parents is, what is the number? What number is the number that, and the reality is, for the emergency room physician that sees kids, there really is no number. It's how your child looks and is acting. I always encourage parents to give antipyretics, Motrin if they're over 6 months, and Tylenol to anybody if they're having fever, and see how they respond. If they look and feel better, you're fine to watch them at home. But if you feel like your child is still not acting right or acting normal, we are always happy to see any child in the fever. But there is no number that warrants XYZ. The only caveat to that, I will say, is in our tiny babies, my little tiny patients. Any baby that's less than 2 months old that has a fever needs to be evaluated in an emergency department. That's because those little peanuts just can't tell us what's going on, how they feel. And it's really important that a doctor lays eyes on a tiny baby when they're sick. As far as, you know, the advice that I give parents is, what we forget as parents, because I'm a parent too, y'all, is how we feel when we're sick. When you're sick, because parents are like, they're laying around, they're not acting like themselves, they're not wanting to eat. But the reality is, when we're sick, you do the same thing, but it's just so hard for us to watch our kids not act normal. But we have to, like, just embrace it and say that it's okay. You know, it's okay that they just kind of want to lay on the couch and watch shows. The most important things are making sure that we're keeping their fever down, that they're drinking, they're peeing. It's okay if they don't want to eat a whole lot, as long as they're drinking and peeing. That's kind of the big three things. If they're working hard to breathe, you can't get the fever down, they're not drinking, they're not peeing, or you're still worried. That's what I tell parents. I am a parent. This is your child. If you are worried, please bring them to the emergency department. It is my job to tell you that they're okay. You don't need to have that burden and feel like you need to convince yourself that your child is fine. So I think that those are kind of the big take homes. Fever in the ER, there's no number unless they're little. You know, monitoring your child's, you know, ins and outs, as we call them, and, you know, how they're acting when they're given medication. And ultimately, like, just embracing, you know, that when sickness hits us all, we just don't act normal. And that's okay. But, you know, like I said, we are there 24/7 and always happy to see any baby that a parent is worried about. But fever
there is
a
no
baby.
Magic word, a number.
There's no magic.
Yeah, no magic number. And I do want to say, you know, saying that, there is no magic number, and every kid is different, you know, so you can't really just cookie cutter that, you know. But I do want to say thank you so much for all y'all for submitting. You know, Noah Papa was just kidding when I was being an English teacher looking at that question. But I want to congratulate Stephanie McHugh from Covington. Congratulations. You won a $25 Rouse's gift card. And now you can go make groceries. Just a little bit of groceries. But you can make groceries And I am just so thankful that you and all y'all submitted them. I want to also say, coming off of that first question, that this is for entertainment purposes only, and we ask our audience to submit questions only out of entertainment. If you really feel like your child is sick, depending on the sickness, call 911 or go to your own pediatric, pediatrician. That was redundant. This is just strictly for entertainment, okay? And this is fun. It really is. But help can also be really serious. So if you're having a serious situation, then go with it as such. Stay serious. Okay, Dr. Mutter. With that said, what was your second choice of questions that was submitted?
My second choice was, I really liked, what advice would you give to first time parents when it comes to dealing with the emergency room? I feel like I'll freak out and go unnecessarily. Mm-hmm. Silly face, laughy face. So I thought that was a great question, because I mean, I've been there, you've been there. Being a first-time parent is very stressful. And even though this is my job, I am a double-boarded pediatrician and ER doctor, I stress about my own kids. And so I get that. So I think for any first-time moms, or first-time parents, I think the same rule applies. If it's a new baby and you're worried, I tell every new parent this, it is never the wrong thing to come to the ER if they do something out of the ordinary, because babies are very squirrely and are tricky little creatures. So when they're little, less than 2 months, and they do something that you're worried about, you should always seek medical care. Most doctors do have a nurse on call line. That's also a very helpful adjunct. I think if you're worried, if you're a first-time parent, reaching out to the nurse on call is always helpful and can maybe guide you in what you should do next. But I always think that there's kind of a gestalt, like if you're, as a parent, you might want to run unnecessarily to the ER. And the biggest time that I see that goes back to question one, Eric, fever. Would be to just kind of wait, give them some medicine and see what they do. And if you're still worried, we're happy to see them. It's tricky right now in healthcare because I see a ton of parents who feel like they need to apologize to me. Oh, I'm so sorry I'm here. I couldn't get an appointment with my doctor for 3 days. And I totally understand that, I get the need to see, you feel like you need to see someone, you're worried about your child and you can't see someone for 3 days, you can't go back to work, you can't go to school, that's tricky. So I think that there's a lot there, as far as like first-time parents and parents in general about coming to the ER. But as a first-time parent, it's scary. And I coming to the emergency department, we're all pediatric focused. So I think that they should anticipate an experience where their child is, we try to make it very kid focused and not super scary, but clearly it's going to be something out of their routine. So it might be different, but I think that the fear of coming to the ER should be hopefully mitigated when they come in the door and see that it's really not a super scary environment. We try to make it,
And also, too, I'm sorry for cutting in, make it exciting.
Yeah.
Like, this is a new chapter. It's not fun, but it's exciting. And I just want to tell this story real quick.
Tell me.
So I am not a woman. And so I don't know, the way you feel as a woman. However, my husband and I adopted, and we were right there with our birth mother. So if she wanted Raising Cane's ice, we went and got Raising Cane's ice. Raising Cane's has got some good ice. They did not pay me to say that.
So good, so
Oh,
good.
right? So good. And there were just multiple times of, doing things, like all the time, doing things for her. But then as the pregnancy got close, came the false alarms. And, I love her so, I'll always love her because she's from actually my hometown in Mississippi. I mean, what, that's so wild, right? So that was not planned. This was,
Crazy.
I mean, and like a little bitty town in Mississippi. It's called Prentice. But anyway, so went to the same snowball shops, y'all. Anyways, I gotta keep it going. So she had multiple close calls, or what do you call them when you fake, no, not fake, when you.
Braxton Hicks.
Yes. Braxton Hicks. Is it Braxton? Okay,
You got
Braxton
it.
Hicks. And we, in the middle of the night, we trekked because we had to go to from our house to her apartment in Kennerborough and pick her up and take her to the emergency room. Okay, so many times there were times I walked her after hours. This is a funny memory I'm going to be able to tell my daughter. We walked through Audubon Park on the golf course after it had closed. We got in trouble because the police were called. We didn't know there were cameras. And they came and they were like, "What are y'all doing out here?" And I'm like, "She's pregnant. We walking," because walking is a real good way of, I don't know, I'm not a doctor, but I've heard walking kind of moves that baby along, So sometimes you're able to get a head start. Oh, oh, I said head start. See what I did there? There's different things. But anyway, when it comes to calling or going to the emergency room when you're pregnant, there is, you never know. Braxton Hicks is something else, man. I mean, it sounds like she's a model, but if she's not a model, it is this situation that happens when a woman thinks she's having a baby, when the daddies think she's having a baby, everybody thinks, but it's really Braxton Hicks.
That is very true. Very true. That is a very
So,
true statement.
do you let's do two more. Let's do two more.
Okay. All right. Well, let's roll the dice, and I want you to pick one.
Ooh, yes. Love it. Okay.
Okay. This is very telling of me because I don't know what you're going to pick here.
You
This is
don't.
something.
You
So I
don't.
hope
And
everybody recognizes this. This is some legit stuff right now.
yes, and I appreciate the freedom. How do I know what kind of falls should be checked out? From, is there usually like a certain height, a certain location that you might have a point of impact? How about that?
That's a great one. So I would say any fall, what we call it is the mechanism. So anything like that's more than just a running fall or a fall from a chair at the kitchen table, a fall from the back of a truck, a fall after getting hit off a bike when by a car. Anything where the mechanism is more severe than what I first described, I would say warrants an evaluation. As far as location, anything to the back of the skull that has any swelling or any long bones, meaning your arms or legs that have any swelling, that may be suggestive of a broken bone or fracture. Those are the same thing. I think that's a frequently misunderstood thing. So if there's any swelling to the long bones, it may be that there's something broken, so that should be something that you seek medical attention for. But the mechanism, and obviously the back of the skull with any swelling is concerning as well. Or if your child's just not acting right or not consolable, those are, you know, outcomes that would warrant, I think, a medical evaluation for sure.
And you know what else is important? And this changed when I became a parent, you know, because when we do, you know, when you are a kid and you have a sibling and they're faking it, you know, it's like, boy, you are faking it. You're just trying to stay home from school. I'm telling mama, you know, it's like that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But what I learned as a parent, when a kid that's young is hurting, they're usually not faking it. And I know that that's probably, I don't know if a doctor can say this because some kids are bad, real bad. but usually kids aren't taught to fake things. And, you know, when they feel something, you know, you might remember your brother or sister faking something when you were, you know, growing up. But when you have a kid, you know, I'm from the South, so I'm automatically going to think, are they faking it? They want to go to school. They don't even want to go to school. They haven't gotten to that point of life yet. So I just want to say I learned as a parent, faking it is not really real as a kid until you become become manipulative. But
very
anyway.
True.
So Doc, what do you say?
So I mean, that's honestly one of the reasons why I see kids is because there is a reality and a truth to that, that, you know, when kids are hurting or uncomfortable, it's real, you know? So I think that that's very true. And just like you said, it's not until they're, you know, a little bit older that they can know what to say, how to say it. And there's also, you know, not to discredit kids who have a little bit of anxiety that manifests itself as, you know, physical things, belly pain or headaches because they're anxious. So that's, you know, that's a real medical problem that I think sometimes manifests itself as a physical symptom and needs to be addressed, whether or not it's in the ER or not, but certainly needs to be addressed. But for sure, you know, that's 100% one of the reasons why I take care of kids, because I know that when they are sick, it's real. You know, they're not making it up. And there's the truth in that is what keeps me from not being jaded in medicine, is because, you know, I want to take care of sick kids and, you know, and make them feel better. So
right.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was a funny lesson for me, but I mean, because when you have a kid, I don't know, there's different things that bring you back to childhood. You know what I mean? And you can't really act on those things because, you know, as a parent, littles, even, you know, our 8-year-old, she has pink eye right now, actually. Double pink eye. It's really, I know. And we are on our second day home from school. But one of them is now turning white, and that's a good thing. And the other one is on its way, I really think. So tomorrow she'll be able to go back to school. You never know when you need to go, you know, to the emergency room, right? I mean, it's and kids, it's like a revolving door. And when you have multiples, it's like a multiple revolving doors.
One of my favorite families that I see is a family who has 6 children.
Mm.
And they have 4 boys and 2 girls. And the boys are just bruisers. They are bruisers. And I met them for the first time 7 years ago. The parents are so lovely. And I've seen all of them at this point, all 6 of them, for something. And I've stitched up 3 of them, and I've, you know, done this to get. So So I think that, you know, like you're saying, it's a revolving door. And she always says, she's like, if it's not one, it's the other one. She's like, I think you've seen all of them at this point. So, you know, they're just, some kids are more accident prone. And when you have more kids, there's more chances for ER visits for sure.
Exactly. And with that said, I want to ask one final question. How do you differentiate an emergency room visit and an urgent care visit? Are they kind of like the same level? Is it like a more professionalized approach? What do you say?
So it's an access thing. So urgent cares sometimes don't have access to x-rays.
Sure.
Some of them can't do breathing treatments. A lot of them won't see patients less than a year old. So I think for certain children, for what their needs are, it's an access thing. There's also the time factor, right? A lot of them are only open for certain hours of the day. So if you are wanting to be seen before or after you and can't be seen by your regular doctor, you end up in the emergency department. Obviously for like a big broken bone, or a child who's severely dehydrated, those are things that warrant ER versus urgent care. But urgent cares definitely see a fair amount of fever and strep throat and flu. So they definitely do their fair share of stitches. So I think that there's a wide gamut of reasons you would choose one over the other. But I know that x-rays are a big factor in a lot of people coming to the ER versus going to urgent care. So, but, you know, I feel like, you know, our pediatric ER, which I feel like a lot of people don't know about. It's a little hidden gem within the main campus ER. We've tried to market it better, but, you know, we're open 24/7 and see kids, I feel like, rather quickly. And so I feel like we're always there, right? So when urgent cares are closed and, you know, other places in town are busy, we're always available to see patients, but it can be tricky because also urgent cares, are often quite busy. You know, they are often, especially during busy flu COVID season. So, but you know, sometimes you need to pop into one to see and then make a choice.
Right. Yes, absolutely. And do you have a preference or not a preference, but something, I'm sure she has a preference. But for our audience that's listening, that's local. Where would you say that they should go to? I mean, I would say, you know, obviously Ochsner Children's, but like, would you say, like Ochsner Children's is on Jeff Highway, right?
Correct.
Right. And like, so you talked about your hidden gem. Can you describe how to get there?
Yeah, absolutely. And my word of advice for people for, you know, when they're going to an emergency department is, I think the best advice is to go where your medical home is. So if you're someone who has medical care with subspecialists at Children's, it behooves you to kind of keep that care at Children's because you're familiar with those subspecialists. Sure. They know you. But if you're just seeking emergent care, yes, we are happy to see you at our ER. We're located in the main campus ER on Jefferson Highway. And if you just follow the signs to the emergency room, we are right there, right across the hall. We have a separate waiting room, a whole separate unit, and a whole slew of pediatric ER doctors to see you. So we are set up in a very similar fashion that most pediatric ERs are. So you'll definitely get the care that's expected in a pediatric ER. So, and I'm very proud of that because I'm also the medical director. So it's something that I take seriously. So yeah. But,
and then
when
I'm sorry for interrupting you. So you are a big dog too. That's real good.
No, I'm not a big dog.
So when someone is wanting to come, they can park in that garage where you have to turn left, or I guess it, depending on what direction you're coming, left or right.
That's a great question. We actually have valet. So if you are really in an emergency, just pull up to the front and the valet will meet you and you just run in with your child. There is an ER parking lot in the front that you can oftentimes find a spot. If not, yes, the garage is your best option, but there's a valet there.
That I never knew that. And I have three kids. I'm kind of kicking myself.
There you go. Nice.
This is so awesome. I really feel like that this is going to be an asset to people's, you know, to their not only sanity, but to their daily lives, because we're all, as parents, it's our job to do the best we can. And you are helping every day. And I'm so glad that we're doing this. Yay.
Too. And I really am thankful for everyone taking the time to submit questions. I know I didn't get to answer all of them, but we're going to try to rotate through as many as possible, because I know that to take the time to submit a question is something that you're worried about. And so I want to hopefully address everyone's questions. And if you have another question, please resubmit it and hopefully we can get to all of them.
Yay. And the winner will get a $25 gift card to Rouse's Markets. We appreciate y'all. I love you. And I love Ochsner, and this is so much fun. And I look forward to chatting your ear off in the next 3 or months. So
definitely. And anytime soon.
Or so. Yay, cool. Well, y'all, we've been talking to Dr. Lauren Mutter, and she is the ED. She is an emergency room. I don't have it in front of me. Oh, my God. Dr. Mutter.
Pediatric emergency room physician. Yes.
Yes. But you also are the medical director.
That is correct.
Yes. She's a big dog. Thank you again. And from my family to you and the Ochsner family, we send NOLA love.
Aw. Bye, y'all.
Oh, hey, how y'all doing? Are you in the market to buy or sell your home? Or perhaps you're a landlord looking for a top-notch property management service? Well, if that's the case, Steph has got you covered, baby. She is a top-notch performing agent with over 12 years of experience and dedication to providing the best possible service to her clients. She has a niche for understanding her clients' unique needs and finding their perfect place to call home. For sellers, she creates a custom marketing plan that highlights the unique features of the home to get it sold quickly and efficiently. For landlords, she offers top-notch property management services, maximizing investment potential. With Stephanie's knowledge of the market, passion for real estate, feisty for life, and commitment to exceptional service, you can trust that you're in good hands. And trust it, Papa says it. For all your real estate needs, call Steph. So just find her at realestatewithsteph.com. realestatewithsteph.com.
At Ochsner Hospital for Children, we understand that accidents and illnesses happen. Our 24/7 pediatric ER has you covered no matter what unexpected moments life throws your way. Visit ochsner.org/forchildren to learn more.
Well, hello, NOLA Papa listeners. I'm Rob Shear, and I'm the founder of Comfort Cases. As many as you may know, foster care can be a very difficult time. It can be uncertain journeys for every child who enters. And we all must understand that children enter foster care because of choices other people made. I would really love for each and every one of you to visit comfortcases.org to find out how you can truly get involved, whether it's going through volunteering at one of our national centers, or whether maybe you might do a drive or a packing party. There's a way for each and every one of us to make a difference in every single child who enters foster care. You know, together we can give these kids hope, dignity, and we can give them a sense that we can... Together, we can give these kids hope, dignity, and love. Because isn't that what each and every one of us want? So please, listen to NOLA Papas. And I know you're all good humans. And I know that you're going to visit comfortcases.org. Take care. Well, hey, Nola Papa listeners, it's Rob Shear again, the founder of Comfort Cases. You know, I know that each and every one of you are good humans. And for the last 10 years, we have packed over 200,000 comfort cases and have delivered them to all 50 states, DC and Puerto Rico, and have even opened up a center in the United Kingdom. You know, none of this would have not happened without you. Our community. See, each and every one of us must understand something. Your community is not your zip code, my friends. Our community is our human race, and it is up to us to make sure that the 438,000 plus children who are actually sitting in foster care know one thing, and that is they are loved. So continue to visit comfortcases.org and have an amazing day.
Hello, this is Doug Munster. I'm with Gift of Adoption. We provide grants to complete the adoption process of vulnerable children, giving them permanent families and a chance to thrive. If you have ever considered the adoption process or are interested in getting information regarding adoption, please reach out to us at giftofadoption.org. And if you have any particular questions, please go to Instagram and reach out to Real Modern Dads, send us a message, and we'd be glad to help you out in any way and assistance we could in your journey. And again, thank you so much for supporting adoption. We are here to create forever families and help as many families complete the adoption process as we can. Thank you so much, and we really hope to hear from you soon.
Hey everyone, Brian Rosenberg here, founder of Gays with Kids. I have exciting news for those hoping to become dads. Until now, determining your best path to fatherhood and then trying to wrap your head around all the moving parts could best be described as overwhelming, complicated, and sometimes downright baffling. But not anymore. In early February, we're launching GWK Academy, a specialized program created specifically for queer men looking to become dads. GWK Academy should be the very first stop on your journey to fatherhood. First, we'll help you determine your best path to fatherhood. Then, whether you choose surrogacy, adoption, or foster care, we'll give you the information, the resources, and the connections you need so you can launch your own journey feeling prepared, knowledgeable, and confident. So be on the lookout for our official launch announcement at gayswithkids.com and make sure you're following us on social media at gayswithkids.
You got itchy, dry, rashy skin? Need an ointment that'll give you relief? Pink Salve, P-I-N-X-A-V. Pink Salve soothes, heals, and protects your whole family's skin from eczema, chafing, and diaper rash too, and not to mention the acne. Support this LGBTQ plus women-owned family business, and it'll be the best rash decision you'll ever make. And if you go to pinksav.com, P-I-N-X-A-V.com, you can get 10% off your next order if you use Nola Papa. Get that keyword, Nola Papa. Pink Salve, y'all.
You know, other than Easter and St. Patrick's Day, there's other things that's going on in the month of March. And this month is actually a National Athletic Training Month. And if you think about athletic training and pediatrics, me and Douglas were not quite there yet. However, Allie Mae is loving her some softball, and Shane is just right there wanting to practice with Allie Mae, and the boy can hit the ball. He's three. He'll be four at the end of the month. That's another thing in March. He'll be four. So I think we got some sports, and then our Ella, oh my goodness, she's going to be our Simone Biles, okay? She is the most graceful gymnast. So we're just 8-6-3 right now. So as the time goes on, that's when, you know, I think, however, injuries happen at all ages. So I'm not going to keep it out of the realm of possibilities, if you will. But March is National Athletic Training Month, and I thought it would, and our pals and partners over at Ochsner Children's, we thought it would be really appropriate to have an athletic trainer on and kind of pick their brains. Because, you know, this is going on our third season with our friends at Ochsner Children's. And I am so grateful and honored to be able to sit down with all of these passionate physicians and hospital workers, because it's the information that we get from the smart people, and we're able to apply that to our lives and to our children's lives and to make it better. And I mean, and if you're making lives better, like how, like really, that's what you're aiming for, right? So this week I am thrilled to invite Destiny Manuel from the Ochsner Andrews Sports Medicine Institute. She's joining us to share the 7 tips to know when you're ready to return to the game. So in context, when our kids are ready to return to the game. Destiny, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited because, first of all, Ochsner Andrews Sports Medicine Institute, where is that?
So we are located in Elmwood. Are you familiar with the Ochsner different campuses that we have?
Absolutely. So is this the Elmwood Fitness, like kind of over there in that area?
Yes, we're right across the street on Clearview. I know it used to be a hospital back in the day. So there you have 2 buildings. We have the hospital, which is building A, and then you have our sports medicine clinic, which is building B. We are located right in that little shopping plaza where the Chick-fil-A and everything is.
Yeah, where you go for lunch, all the different places.
All the time, yes.
And they have like Clearview, as far as the eye can see, all the places to eat. So y'all can have a good lunch. I know exactly where you're talking about. And Andrews Sports Medicine, I'm a dummy. So what does Andrews Sports Medicine, what is that?
So it's actually after Dr. James Andrew. Are you familiar with him? And he has a clinic out in Pensacola.
Yes.
Yes. So we combined with him probably about a year and a half ago to create basically the Ochsner Andrews Sports Medicine Institute. So he comes, we do a lot of research. He does seminars with us. But okay. We've combined to kind of share that love between Louisiana and Mississippi.
Got it. And I mean, when dealing with injuries, I know that because your papa wasn't a very big sports player, if you can't tell, but it's okay. I know my children will be, and it's important for me to know the stuff, that's important. And from what I am looking at, when you are hurt or when your kid is hurt, the big thing summoning up is patience, right?
Yes, patience, patience, patience. Patience is key.
It is. Okay. So tell us, injured athletes usually can't wait to get back to playing, and that's the truth because that's their passion. What advice would you give someone who is injured looking to return to their sport?
Well, like you said, being patient. Your body cannot heal overnight. It's a time. The key is really starting your recovery plan as soon as possible. So you start off with rest. When your body, usually that's when you have that inflammation going on. So you have all that pain, the swelling, sometimes you'll have some bruising or redness. But from there, you usually get with your provider, so your athletic trainer or physical therapist or your doctor, depending on who you see first, and you'll create a plan. So usually it starts off with that rest. You can take some pain medication if you want, but we need to really make sure that there's no sign of inflammation. So there's no swelling, there's no redness. You will have some pain, of course, but really we just want that redness and that swelling to go away. And then from there, we're going to work on getting our range of motion. What I mean by that is we can pretend it's an ankle injury. So say you're playing basketball and you roll your ankle and you have the swelling that initially happens, and you know you're going to elevate it, you know, keep it above your heart. From there, I always tell people do some ankle pumps. And what I mean by that, it's just literally moving your ankle, pretending like you're pushing on a gas pedal, because you want to promote that lymphatic return, that drainage, to help push all that swelling out. And so that's also to prevent some stiffness, because one mistake that a lot of people do is they'll do that Rice method, which is they'll emphasize that rest, when in actuality, motion is the key to recovering. You can't just, you know, sit down all day long.
Right.
And then from there, once you don't have that pain or stiffness, you're going to work on your strength and that muscle control. So that's making sure you're doing those weight bearing activities, making sure that, you know, you can stand up properly without limping or anything, because when you start limping, your body's going to start compensating. So it's going to start learning a new way to move, which is actually the incorrect way. So we want to make sure that your body tries to return back to normal. We call it homeostasis, but
that's the smart word. That's the three nickel word. Okay.
Yes. And then once you're at about 90% of that strength, then we're going to start ramping it up to doing more return to play activities. So say, like I said, basketball. We're going to throw you in doing some drills. We're going to throw you in some sprints, just to make sure that you, A, have that range of motion, there's no pain, but also B, that you're strong and your body can withstand what you're trying to do. And then also, it's a mind thing. You know, I always tell my patients, you need to believe that you can do this, because your body's going to respond. If you feed it positivity, positive things are going to come out of it. You can't mope around, whoa, it's me, you know. It's hard, you know, when you're injured, you feel like the world's going to end, but it's okay. As long as, you know, you believe and you try and you do your rehab, you're going to get there. It may be hard, but it's not impossible.
Stay positive. I love that. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be vulnerable real quick. So I'm not a kid. But in July, I pinched my nerve and my left shoulder and my neck kind of situation. And I have never had I've been sick, you know, but not like physical pain. And it was, it's on its way out now, but from July until March, I kid you not, y'all, it hurt so bad. And, you know, having three kids and all the things on top of it, it doesn't help, but right. It seemed like it moved, like it would pulsate. It would start from my neck and go down and pulsate to my fingers, and it felt like my arm would fall asleep. And this isn't just 1 month. This is like July,
every day,
August, September, October, all the way until now. It's now subsided a little bit. And if, like, I'm an adult, so if you put that in a little kid's, you know, kind of mindset, like wanting to get back to their sport, I mean, that's a long time. And so injuries can be from, can they get pinched nerves too? Or that, yes. Does that come along later?
Oh, no. Anybody can get a pinched nerve. Really, so it sounds like you're asking about the recovery process. Recovery looks different for everybody and for every injury. The way that you recovered from your pinched nerve will look different for me because our bodies are different. Our pain tolerance are different. You know, you may have a higher pain tolerance than I do. But my biggest thing is getting a support system, especially for kids, their parents, you know, their teammates. They need an advocate. So the quicker that you can find that support system, the easier it's going to become for you. And like I was mentioning, like your mental, it can be hard on your mental health. Mm-hmm. Having that support system and having an accountability buddy to say, hey, you know, I know you're trying to get back to this. I know you want to be pain-free. You know, how can we get there? And then once, you know, you're educated and you find out, okay, this is what I need to do. From there, your support system is going to help you work through that.
And you know, support systems are so important in all different aspects of life. And when you're hurting, you need people to understand what's going on and how to get it better. Am I right?
Yes.
So for the slow people in the back like me, how is it, like, what is an athletic trainer is what I guess I'm trying to ask.
Okay, that's a good question. So we are allied healthcare professionals. Oftentimes we get confused with being a personal trainer, but we specialize in injury prevention as well as the treatment of different illnesses. We diagnose injuries. Mainly we're masters at the musculoskeletal system, meaning we deal with muscles and bones all day.
Got it. Okay, so now I would love to hear and kind of, I guess, review the 7 signs that indicate you are ready to return to sports following an injury. And this is also the, you know, the parents observing at home, you know, because it's up to us to, because, you know, those little rascals is going to try to cheat. You know, they are going to try to cheat. So it's up to us as parents to call them out. I mean, really, and that is the truth. So what are those 7 signs?
So we know that first step is recognizing that you are injured and that you indeed, you know, you have to take a step back. So it's that awareness and owning up to the fact that you're hurt. And from there, you're going to move towards getting pain-free, eliminating all of that swelling. So that's where that patience comes in, whether you're taking medications, you're icing, or so on. Mm-hmm. Then you're going to create your rehab protocol based on your doctor's guidelines or your physical therapist guidelines or your athletic trainer. And from there, you're going to listen to your body. You're going to have to try to regain that full range of motion. And then from there, you're going to move towards our joints and making sure you...
I don't mean to interrupt, but when you are regaining your range of motion and joints and stuff, that is kind of like homework, huh?
Yes, like, that is your homework. That is your homework. We call it your home exercise program, aka your homework.
How long usually when you go home do your
homework?
Right.
I'd say a minimum twice a day. Usually I tell people, think about it when you first wake up in the morning and then a little bit before bed. So, you know, it's kind of like when you go to school. Your kid goes to school, you want to make sure that they do their homework right away. So it's the first thing on their mind when they wake up as well as when they're going to bed.
Mm-hmm. So 15, like 15 minutes?
Yeah. So it
depends on the person.
At least it depends on the person, but I'd say you need to spend at least 10 to 15 minutes, you know, reviewing what your homework was and then actually executing it. The time will depend on really how well you are progressing, how fast you're progressing, and that's based on your body. Your body is going to tell you. You're going to have to listen to your body.
Right. And if there's like a pinch, if there's like a little bit of like a tiny little high pitch, little you're not ready, huh?
I would say you shouldn't be feeling pain when doing your homework, essentially, you should feel uncomfortable. A little discomfort's okay, but you should not be in excruciating pain. You shouldn't be wincing at all.
Okay. So I probably threw us off track. Do you remember where you were?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Oh, good.
Yes. So then from there, as you're regaining that range of motion to help with stiffness, you're going to make sure your joints are nice and stable. And from there, you're going to work on your strength. So you need to build up all those muscles because you've been resting. You haven't been doing the activity that you were used to doing. So you have to build up your strength. And when you're about 90% ready, that's when we say, okay, go ahead. We're gonna send you out there. And we're going to test how you are functionally.
Wow.
Yes.
Oh,
yes, yes.
The fear in me, the fear of a parent in me would be like, nah. No, one person touches her and she's just gonna fall like a stack of cards. So you just have to not look at the fear and you just have to embrace this is what you do to overcome an injury. It's 90%, it's not 95 or 100. Don't think about that. Just
It's a process.
Yes,
that's where that support system comes from. And you can always come talk to the healthcare professional. Our job is to make sure that we're creating a healthy, healing environment. So when parents come to us, we're happy to help y'all navigate this because it's a process.
you can calm the parent down.
It's a process.
Like, okay.
Yes.
<It's> okay.
sometimes parents freak out more than the kids. You'd be very surprised.
Yeah, I see myself with a paper bag. I really do. So, which comes to you're mentally prepared. Wow. Because it's a process getting from, you know, week or day one to week one to month one to, you know, third month. And then what do you mean by you're mentally prepared?
So being mentally prepared is you having that right mindset and you not being scared. There are several coaches sometimes that will yell, you're playing scared. And it's, if you are nervous about going back, it's okay to be nervous, but when you're scared, you're not going to be 100%.
Sure.
Because you're going to be thinking about that injury. And when you do that, your body is going to react. It's like I was talking about earlier about staying positive because your body's going to feed off of that. If you're so worried that you're going to get hurt, you're going to start, you know, shying away and your body is going to start shutting down.
Would you say that that person, if they can't get out of their head like that, they might not be ready?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And then
you're in that right mindset.
And then you got the rascals that isn't that they aren't ready, but they trying to put off that they're ready.
Oh, yes.
Are y'all able to sniff them out like a hound dog?
Oh, yes, we are. That's why that functional testing is important because the body never lies.
Oh.
Your body will not lie. If you tell me you're okay and I tell you to walk across that room and you can't make it across that room, that tells me you're not ready.
Exactly.
And that's okay. That is okay. The body needs time to heal.
The body does. And I can just imagine, the pitcher, you know, or the catcher, like, because those were always like the big people on campus were like the highly sought after team members.
Yes.
And I could barely add. Anyway, okay. So when we're thinking about all of it, because it's a lot that goes into an injury, and then, if there's medicine, if there's rehab and all that. So what's the takeaway of, you know, the seven signs? So real quick, you guys, number one was you're pain-free and any swelling is gone. And that's one and two. Sign three is no one would know you've been injured. Okay. Sign four is you have full range of motion. Sign 5 and 6, your joints are stable and your strength are mostly returned. Sign 7, you're mentally prepared. So, the takeaway of the 7 signs, what would you say? And you guys, we're talking to Miss Destiny Manuel, and she is an athletic trainer over at Ochsner Andrews Sports Medicine Institute off of Clearview Highway over there on Elmwood. So what would you say the takeaway would be?
Being patient. You need to listen to your doctor's recommendations and listen to your body. That's the most important thing. From there, you're going to have to sit out, and that's okay. But from there, you're going to regain that range of motion, build up your strength to help avoid re-injury. And then lastly, follow your athletic trainers and your physical therapist instructions, because they are there to educate you and guide you through this process.
Definitely. And I guess here's a pop-up question. So if you have a hurt kid, let's say we had gymnastics with little Ella, and she hurt her, I don't know, I don't want to say neck, that scares me real bad, her shoulder. Okay, so would you say go to our pediatrician, Dr. Amy, or would you say if it's a sports injury kind of situation, go to the Ochsner Andrews place?
Good question. So if it's regarding muscles or bones, I'd say always go the orthopedic route. So I would say go to the sports medicine route, because ultimately, if you do choose to go to your pediatrician, they're going to say, hey, I recommend you go to the orthopedics, because, you know, I'm just a general pediatrician who kind of covers the whole entire body, versus going to the orthopedics who specialize specifically
exactly in
musculoskeletal.
Got it. So you said earlier, I want to pivot to, you said earlier, the training, it differs from a personal trainer to an athletic trainer.
Yes.
What kind of certifications and education should you have for athletic trainers?
So for athletic training, you're going to start with a board of certification exam, which from there you will get your certification. So my technical title is certified athletic trainer. And depending on what stage you're in, you'll be required to get a licensure. So you'll be required to get a license. Sometimes it's another exam, sometimes it's a different application. It will vary by state. But everyone is required to have at least a bachelor's degree.
Okay.
Right now, different programs across the country are requiring to have a master's degree. So some people are going back to school to get that graduate level degree.
And honestly, I'm just gonna say it. So when you're dealing with muscles and bones and stuff, like, as they should go to those, you know, college and stuff.
Exactly.
I mean, personal trainers, you're wanting to get, you know, that nice little six pack and, you know, get the quads going, you know, that's one thing. But when it comes to the way that our bones heal, hello, to me, that is super important, right?
Yes. That is very important.
So, and which leads me to ask, what's the difference between the two?
Okay, so an athletic trainer, we're healthcare professionals. So we specialize, like I said, injury prevention. We're emergency care. We are those frontline workers for athletics. So when an athlete gets hurt, the first person that sees them is an athletic trainer. Versus a personal trainer, they're more there for your fitness needs. So like I said, that's, you know, getting your six pack, getting you to be able to walk up and down the stairs without being out of breath.
Eat right.
Yes, you're eating right. They're primarily in wellness centers, gyms, clubs, and athletic trainers. We're everywhere. Mm. We're in hospitals, we're at schools, we're in warehouses.
On the football field, when a football player hurts themselves,
mm-hmm.
that's who comes out. Do y'all come out on the field?
Yes, we are those people that you see running out on the field.
That's
yes,
cool.
Oftentimes we're called water girls or water boys, but we do a lot more.
A little bit more important than a water boy or a water girl, I would think. Yeah. And then, so what, because I'm sure your office day is not your typical office day. Where's your office and what does a day look like for you?
So I'm outreach. So my office isn't technically on Auctioner's campus. I work at St. Martin's Episcopal School in Metairie. And a typical day starts with me getting up, answering any emails or phone calls that parents or some of my athletes have. It could be scheduling appointments. And then right during lunch, I would say, is when the kids start coming to me and they're all, Miss Manuel, you know, this hurts, that hurts. And that's when I'd provide my treatments. So that could be anywhere between rehab, so them doing their special exercises to get their range of motion, their strengthening. Or it could be me cupping, scraping, massage, whatever therapy that they need. Could be some ultrasound, e-stem. And then from there,
that's fancy.
Oh yes, it's fancy.
My school, they say just go run it off and go fly kite, blow some bubbles.
Yep, run it off, shake it off, rub some dirt on it.
Uh-huh.
I try to do more than just heat and ice.
Uh-huh.
I'm big on using my hands for therapy. Manual therapy is a big thing that I like
to
do.
Oh, you see what you did there? Manuel.
Oh, yes. And then from there, I'll set up for practices or games. So that's me getting the water ready, the Gatorade ready, dragging out all the equipment that I need, making sure the AED is working.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, I'll meet with all my coaches. And then school lets out. It's time for practices or game time.
And then repeat play.
Repeat and play. Yep.
I love it. So I ask our guests usually, you know, in the beginning, what inspired you to go this route?
Well, that's a good question. I would say I was in high school and I ran track. I was an athlete. I ran track and played volleyball. And I remember going to my athletic trainer to get my arches taped for track. And she was like, Destiny, you can do this yourself. Why don't you try doing it? So it had to be about my junior year. I went out and I helped with the football team. We had our tryouts. And from there, I made the team. And so you're essentially the athletic trainer's shadow. And I'm that type of person where everywhere I go, I'm a sponge. Mm-hmm. I want to learn as much as I can while I can. And so I fell in love with it. I've always known that I wanted to go into the medical field. And so I was like, oh, this is cool. I get to deal with athletes 24/7. So I get to be still close to something I love, but also I'm in the medical field.
Right.
So I decided to go to school for it. And here I am today.
Look at
years,
you.
Years down the line, still doing what I love.
I love it. So how long have you been doing it?
This is my third year.
Oh, look out. Where are you from?
I am from Ohio, Toledo, Ohio.
Okay.
I went to high school in San Antonio, Texas, and then I went to college in Virginia, in Fairfax, Virginia. I went to George Mason University.
Okay, and then Auctioner.
And then Auctioner reeled me in.
They cast out that line and reeled her in, baby.
Yes.
So what are you thinking about Mardi Gras? Do you like it?
Oh, I love Mardi Gras.
It's wild,
love
huh?
Love it. Yes, it reminds me of Fiesta in San Antonio.
Oh, okay. Well, cool. So you're not... Yes. You're not too, you know, your feet's a little wet.
Yes, my feet's a little wet. Yes.
I love it.
I wouldn't say I was thrown to the wolves when I moved here.
You guys, we have been chatting with Destiny Manuel, and she is a trainer, a sports medicine. because there's two of them, and I asked that question, and then there's a personal trainer, and then there is the Destiny. What is it? Oh,
athletic.
Athletic. Dang God.
It's
athletic
okay.
trainer at Ochsner Andrews Sports Medicine Institute over on Clearview. Thank you so much for sitting down with me and us and allowing us to learn.
Thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed myself.
Oh, good. You're really, really well spoken. And
thank you.
Your smile is very bright. Thank you.
Thank you.
And from my family to your family, we send you NOLA love.
Thank you.
You got itchy, dry, rashy skin? Need an ointment that'll give you relief? Pink Salve, PINXAV. Pink Salve soothes, heals, and protects your whole family's skin from eczema, chafing, and diaper rash too. And not to mention the acne. Support this LGBTQ plus women-owned family business, and it'll be the best rash decision you'll ever make. And if you go to pinksav.com, PINXAV.com, you can get 10% off your next order if you use NOLA Papa. Get that keyword, NOLA Papa. Pink Sav, y'all.
Are you ready to embark on a magical journey with your family? Look no further. Welcome to Sandpiper Vacations, where we specialize in crafting unforgettable experiences for LGBTQ plus families. Whether you are dreaming of a relaxing cruise, an all-inclusive resort, or the tropical islands of Hawaii, we've got you covered. Our gay-owned and operated travel agency is dedicated to creating inclusive and memorable experiences for families just like yours. Picture this, a stress-free vacation where every detail is taken care of. That's what we're here for. At Sandpiper Vacations, we understand the unique needs and desires of LGBTQ plus families, and we've curated the perfect destinations just for you. Our planning services are completely free and designed to make your vacation planning as hassle-free as possible. So why stress over planning when you can leave it up to the experts? Let Sandpiper Vacations turn your travel dreams into reality. Visit our website at sandpipervacations.com or give us a call or shoot us a text at 614-407-3232.
Ooh, y'all, it takes a village to make this show happen. And it definitely couldn't happen without the generous pockets from our family of sponsors like Ochsner Hospital for Children, Ochsner.org, Rouse's Markets, Pink Salve Diaper Rash Cream at pinksav.com. Sandpiper Vacations at sandpipervacations.com. Comfort Cases, find them at comfortcases.org. New Orleans Ice Cream Company, find them at neworleansicecream.com. Real Estate with Steph, find her over at realestatewithsteph.com. Our beloved Audubon Institute, find them at audubininstitute.org. Kids Dream Dress Boutique, find them at kidsdreamus.com. And Zach George and his dog training revolution, find him on YouTube. Our partners like gayswithkids.com and all the others that help, but we cannot forget our show's director and editor and knower of all digital things, Adrian over at Ice Media. And of course, we can't forget y'all. Thank you so much for listening. We couldn't have it without you. And if you know anyone that would like to become a partner with NOLAPAPA.com, you can send them to Eric@NOLAPAPA.com. Shoot me an email, and I'll shoot it right back, baby. Until then, NOLA love.